This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
It's 4 o'clock, and you're listening to Green Talks on WRFL Lexington. This is your host, Zoe Gabrielson. And Green Talks is a show where we talk about some of the sustainability initiatives and programs that are happening on UK's campus, many of which have been funded by the Environmental Stewardship Fee, which is paid by all students in order to advance the theory, practice, and reality of sustainability. And today I'm joined with a guest from Campus Kitchens, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of the programs that they're working on here and how that's had an impact on sustainability on campus. So would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Hello, my name is Seth Bean Midder, and I'm the current president at the Campus Kitchens Project at the University of Kentucky.
All right, great. Thank you for joining us. So what is Campus Kitchen? Can you tell us a little bit about maybe its history, some of the impact that you guys have made on campus?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So real quick, I just want to make sure that everyone knows and hears that we are housed in the Department of Dietetics and Human Nutrition. We love DHN. They've been super great to us, so we want to definitely give them a big shout out and a thank you. But we're a student-led nonprofit that focuses on fighting both food insecurity and hunger, both at UK's campus and throughout the Lexington community. So we began back in about 2014 with three or four students who were really dedicated and wanted to try and get us affiliated with the national headquarters, which is based in D.C. So we are one of 64 chapters in Kentucky. There's another one at Lindsey Wilson College, and then I believe EKU and Berea College are working on starting their own chapters. So we're very excited to hear from them. But since we began back in 2014, we've managed to recover over 20,000 pounds of food, serve over 15,000 meals, and provide over 40 educational programs. So what we do is we recover food that would be wasted by campus dining, by grocery stores, by Lexington restaurants. And even though the food's totally good, based on those specific rules that those organizations follows, they're no longer able to give it to the public. So we take that food, we bring it back to our kitchen, which is in Funkhauser 207, where we have student volunteer groups prepare healthy nutritional meals that we then deliver sometimes to students on campus and sometimes to our delivery partners just based on the day of the week.
That's really cool. So it sounds like you guys are addressing a couple of different layers of sustainability. So why did you get involved with CKUK?
So this is my senior year here at UK, and back when I was just a freshman, I needed a place to volunteer, and I also had to do a school project on food waste, so I found out about the Campus Kitchens. I fell in love with the people who were working there already. They encouraged me to join up. So since then, I've just slowly risen through the ranks until I've been leading it this past year.
That's awesome. What makes you passionate about the work that you do?
It's just once you get started, it's really hard to stop because you develop personal relationships with all the people you serve. One of our biggest partner organizations is Bella Griffith Towers, which is a retirement home. So over the summers and during the school year, I would be delivering food to them on a weekly basis. So once you start, that's just something you can't really stop.
Cool. So you've gotten to like talk to some of the people and
definitely
stuff.
It's been incredibly enjoyable.
That's really awesome. So we are talking a little bit today also, in addition to the Campus Kitchens as a whole, about the Soil to Table and Back program. Can you tell me a little bit about what that is and how it works?
Absolutely. So the Soil to Table and Back program is essentially a campaign to bring food literacy to the UK student body through a series of workshops, community dinners, and expanding upon our normal operations, focusing especially on our campus garden. So food literacy is understanding the system through which food progresses from the soil to the table and then back to soil, including recognizing the impact of food choices have on the individual, social, culture, and the environment. We've broken it into five different steps. So our first step is soil to plant. And what we're doing on that one is we're starting our indoor herb garden in our kitchen, which is located in Funkhauser 207. And we're having a workshop on that soon. I believe it's on March 5th at 5 o'clock, and that's open to all UK students and Lexington community members. And we also focused on creating seeds indoor that we're then going to transplant into our community garden once the weather starts to change. Our next part of the program was From Plant to Food. So that means not only doing general maintenance of our campus community garden, which is located behind the Gaines Center, which is where the old UK bookstore used to be, but we're also focusing on kind of making it pretty and a lot nicer, so that way it's more inviting to UK students and we can house more crops there. We do From Food to Table. So we host community dinners called Gathering at the Table. Our next one is going to be in April, and that's open to all UK students as well as Lexington community members. And we work with the Food Connection to kind of have dinners based on locally grown food that we recover from local farmers markets, as well as trying out new recipes, focusing either on a specific type of food, like we had one recently about microwave meals, or doing one specific culture when we have an organization reach out to us. Next, we have From Food to Soil, and that's where we're focusing a lot more on composting here at UK. So we actually just built our 80-gallon compost bucket and had it transferred out there. So that was definitely a lot more stressful than we imagined. But thankfully, with nine of us coming together, we managed to get it done. And we're excited to also work with UK Dining, who's going to be stepping up their compost game this March. And then lastly, it's From Food to Empowerment. So that's where our Beyond the Meal programming kicks in. So what Beyond the Meal programming is just that, making sure that we're not just dropping food off or delivering vegetables here and there, but rather we're making significant change by investing time in our partners, in our volunteers, and in our student leaders.
That's really cool. So you mentioned that it's open to the UK population. So these events are open to anybody at UK?
Mm-hmm. Students, okay. Faculty. We'd love to see everyone there.
That's really cool. So how did this initiative get started?
So we've always had a great relationship with the Student Sustainability Council. So since our beginning, we've managed to get a lot of funding for our garden projects. And then through that, we've actually been able to hire students as our garden fellow. So the garden fellow is changed out every summer, and they come into us. We work as an EC together with them, so both Campus Kitchens and the garden fellow. So that way we can come up with a new plan, and then we work on changing that new plan into something that we can get funded so we continue growing as an organization. So this was really pushed by some of our past garden fellows, including Morgan Barnett and Anna Townsend. And then our current one, Katie Derringer, has put a lot of work into it as well.
That's really cool. So can you talked a little bit about food literacy. Can you talk more about how that relates to sustainability and then also to anti-hunger initiatives?
Definitely. So food literacy is something that I'll be honest, I wasn't really aware of before this year. But through working on this grant and working more at Campus Kitchens, it's been great to learn more about. And essentially, the more you know about food, the least likely you are to avoid it. So when we can teach people how to grow their own food, how to pick out their own food, how to prepare food certain ways, it gives them a lot more options to fight that that food insecurity. It's something that we all kind of struggle from. And as far as sustainability goes, we're working to make sure that everything that we bring into the organization, we can safely put out without causing any lasting impact or damage. So that's why we're really stressing the importance of composting this year, as well as working more with UK Dining and reducing food waste overall here on campus.
Okay, cool. So touched briefly on the sustainability aspect. How does this project relate to the three pillars of sustainability? We talk about this on pretty much every episode, and so some of our frequent listeners may know, but the three pillars typically refers to the economic, environmental, and social impact of an initiative or program.
Yeah, definitely. As far as environmental goes, food waste is the single largest component in landfills right now. So that's something that we constantly need to be raising awareness for, because it's a problem that too many people don't know anything about. So we want to stress the importance of composting again, just because that's the safest way to eliminate food waste that instead would be sitting in the ground years after we're both gone. We also want to be promoting healthy eating and food literacy, just because that typically leads to better habits and therefore a better impact on the environment. As far as economic goes, by getting funding from the Student Sustainability Council, we're able to kind of create our own sustainable program that we can keep coming back to. So that way, even though the student leaders change every year, we're managing to stay on task and continue expanding. And we're using workshops to not only promote food literacy, but also maximize what we already have going on. So that includes making more efforts in our community garden, so that way we can draw in more potential volunteers, as well as smoothing out our day-to-day operations, so that way people, when they volunteer with us, when they receive food from us, they have the best experience possible. And as far as social goes, even though we're a service organization, there's a lot of social ties that goes into it. You can't really expect people to keep coming back and volunteer unless you give them a friendly outlet that's encouraging and inviting. So we make sure that we don't just drop off the food, as I mentioned earlier, but we share and stick around during the meals. So we talk with the clients who receive them. We talk with the student volunteers who go along with us on our shifts. We work with 25-plus student leaders as shift captains throughout the semester that are constantly in contact, that have large group meetings, team-building exercises, and training at the beginning of the semester, so that way we can make sure that we're not just making a difference, but we're having a good time while we're doing it.
Cool. So it sounds like there's some significant student impact in this project, would you say?
Absolutely. So we, Campus Kitchens, originally started in trying to reduce food insecurity and hunger in UK's student body. There was definitely a lot of bumps in the road for our first few years. So we started to work more with Lexington community members. But now that we've smoothed everything out and we've been around for a while, we've actually managed to come back to work more with UK students directly. So we started a new Farm to Fork program, which received additional funding from the Student Sustainability Grant and is part of our Soil to Table and Back project. So that way, it's a lunch that's hosted every Wednesday in Funkhauser 207 from 11 to 1 that all UK students and faculty are invited to. And if you'd like to find out more information, be sure to check us out on Facebook at the Campus Kitchens at the University of Kentucky. Just so that has a lot more information on those weekday meals. But still, like I said, it's a social environment because we've got all these student leaders. While we have a few faculty advisors, it's all students who are organizing, who are writing the grants, who are going out and making these connections and partnerships. So through that, we've managed to work with about 300-plus unique volunteers every semester. So we want to make sure that we can continue to provide not only an easy and enjoyable, but a service opportunity that works around their schedule. So that's why we offer multiple shifts on a weekday basis. So that way, if something's busy during your Monday morning, you can always work Tuesday afternoon. Tuesday doesn't work, you can work Wednesday morning, and so forth.
Awesome. We are going to come right back to talking to Seth after this quick break. And we are back. You are listening to Green Talks, a weekly radio show where we talk about some of the environmental and sustainability initiatives happening on UK's campus and in the Lexington community. I'm talking to Seth from the Campus Kitchens Project today, and we are discussing some of the different initiatives that they're working on. And we were just talking about the Soil to Table project. And so I wanted to also talk more generally about food insecurity and food waste in Kentucky, particularly in Lexington. Do you have any information that might help our listeners understand more about how serious these issues are?
Yeah. So especially here at UK, it was a much bigger problem than I originally anticipated. Last year, the Campus Kitchens project partnered with Stop Hunger so we could lead a food access survey where we managed to interview a little over 1,700 students. And then from that survey and the results we got, we discovered that it was a little over 40% of UK students experienced some form of food or housing insecurity. For food insecurity, that's not just someone who's struggling to get by. That could be someone who's just having to skip lunch now and then, whether it be a monetary factor because they've ran out of flex dollars or meal swipes, whether it be a time factor because they have to run in between classes and they don't have time to get to one of the campus mess halls. Or something else in their life where they just can't really find that constant meal source. So food insecurity is something that no one should have to deal with because food is just a basic necessity, especially for someone who's trying to better themselves at a college university. So we've also worked with STOP in something new that they're doing now, which is called the Basic Needs Campaign. So you can check them out on Facebook, which is STOP at the University of Kentucky, to find out more about it. But it's definitely something that's worth looking into.
Yeah, and that's S-S-T-O-P, right?
Yes, there, with two S's.
Okay, cool. Well, that's kind of a jarring statistic that so many of our students are food insecure. But it seems like your organization's helping with that because students are invited to come to these open lunches, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk more about the history between your organization and the SSC. You mentioned earlier that we do have a long relationship. So for those of you listeners who may not be aware, the Student Sustainability Council, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, is an organization that helps to fund initiatives that students or staff are helping to put together at the university. So this might be something like a weekly lunch where food insecure students or anybody in the UK community can come for a nice meal. It might be installing new water fountains around campus so that students can bring a reusable water bottle rather than having to buy a new plastic water bottle every day, or a myriad of other initiatives that we have available. So what does that history look like?
Honestly, it's all been great. We love working with the SSC because we wanted to be sustainable and environmentally friendly since we began. So it was great that they gave us some guidelines and role models to look up to so we could kind of follow in their footsteps. And then through the funding and grants that we received from them, we've not only been able to start new projects, but continue to grow. So that way we can continue to have bigger and bigger projects down the line. So that way at some point we could be providing free food for students on a daily basis.
One of the things that I think we've noticed at the SSC, and I'm the director of outreach for the SSC, we've talked as, you know, a team and as a council about the fact that Campus Kitchen, throughout all the times that they've submitted proposals, has really done a great job of finding matching funding. And so you all have been great at putting together really robust proposals with lots of support from other faculty and staff, and have really done your homework. So it seems like the initiatives that come to us, one of the things we look for in a great proposal is that organizations or people who are submitting do have that support from other groups, because we love to see that somebody has done their research and that they want to make the project just as successful as we want to see it become. So that's something that we've definitely noticed. And I think that for anybody who might be listening that's thinking about submitting a proposal, as always, you can contact us for more information about pointers and tips on submitting a great proposal. But Campus Kitchens has definitely done a really good job of that. So what other partners, and as we mentioned, you guys have had other funding and support. What other partners have you guys had besides the SSC?
So we receive a lot of support from DHN, since we are housed in that department, as well as from the College of Agriculture itself. We work a lot with the Food Connection, which is located above the 90, for our gathering at the table events, as well as other community dinners and workshops that we host throughout the semester. We have some really great partner organizations, especially one that comes to mind is Glean Kentucky, because they're a great organization that goes out to work both throughout Kentucky at farms, farmer markets, grocery stores, restaurants. So they've been great to kind of help us set up some of our own partnerships, as well as finding out where we can get the most produce for the least amount of trips. There's other UK organizations that we work a lot with, including STOP, as I mentioned earlier, with two S's, and the Big Blue Pantry. We like to work together so that way we can try and make UK the best place possible for students. We go to a yearly conference where we can work with other Campus Kitchens chapters, and we have conference calls so that way we can constantly be updated on what's going on at headquarters, as well as making sure that we can be the best Campus Kitchens we can possibly be. And then there's plenty of UK groups that volunteer with us, including APO. We just had FIMU reach out to us, which was really great, and other organizations that just want to try and help.
That's great. We actually had Dr. Maynard, Lee Maynard, on the show a little while ago from the Food Connection. We talked about some of the initiatives that the Food Connection has been working on, and it's really exciting to see that so many different organizations on our campus and different students and faculty and staff have come together to address this issue, because as we heard with the statistics earlier, it does seem to be quite a big issue that the students have with the food insecurity. So with all of that in mind, it sounds like this is a great organization, and I'm sure all of our listeners are going to want to get involved. Who would they talk to? Where would they go? What web pages, et cetera, would they visit if they want to learn more or if they want to get involved?
Definitely. So the easiest website to use to kind of find out more about what we are, as well as figuring out how to volunteer, is to go to our Volunteer Hub page. So you can find that just at campuskitchens.volunteerhub.com. So you set up a basic profile, and then it's got all of our weekly shifts listed on a monthly basis, just so that way it's really easy to kind of pick and choose what you want. For students who are more interested in getting themselves involved instead of just doing a shift here and there, I would recommend keeping an eye out on our Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, so that way you can find out when we're hiring both our executive committee and shift captain members for students who want to try and get involved a little bit more.
Cool. And then if students are interested in attending those lunches and meals, what are those like? I know you had mentioned one of them earlier.
So, yeah, we work out of Funkhauser 206, 7. So that's right on the second floor where we share a learning kitchen with DHN. So that's where we have all of our volunteer shifts. I highly recommend you stop by there one day just to kind of see how operations are going. We have shift captains, which have been trained in everything that's going on at Campus Kitchens, so they can answer any specific questions that you have there. And then we host that open lunch every Wednesday from 11 to 1 in Funkhauser 207, which is run by Kendra, who's one of the graduate students, and she's just been absolutely a delight to work with.
That's awesome. It sounds like there's some really great resources available for any students that may be interested in that. And so, yes, as you all heard, there are lunches available, and those are open to the public. There's lots of resources online. And did you have anything else you wanted to share with our listeners?
Only that we'd love to see you come out and volunteer with us sometime soon.
Yeah, great. Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us. It was really great talking to you about the different issues that our students are facing and also what your organization is doing to address them. We are going to get back to the music after a quick break.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.